Now, as we continue with our sermons in the Epistle to the Romans, if you would turn this evening to the last chapter, to chapter 16. Now, you'll see the nature of the chapter, at least the first part of it. And so, rather than get enmeshed in too many names, we're going to read down to verse 9 of the chapter for this evening. So, chapter 16 of the Epistle to the Romans, and reading from verse 1 and down to verse 9. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succourer of many, and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphras, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labour on us. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen, and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urban, our helper in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. And so to the end of that chapter. In this chapter 16 of the Epistle to the Romans that we begin to look at this evening, we have first of all this whole listing of greetings and salutations which the Lord's Apostle sends to a good many of the believers in Christ who were in the Church of Rome, in the city of Rome in those days. Some of the people that are mentioned are people that Paul would have met up with on his journeys as he went everywhere preaching the gospel of Christ, as he has told us in the previous chapter. And some of them were even members of his own family circle, some of whom, as he says, were in Christ before him, were converted and saved before the Lord dealt with Paul himself on the road to Damascus. Some of the people who are named, we know something about. In relation to the Word of God, we know a fair deal about, I suppose, and the amount that we're told about them. Some of them we know very little about, and some of them we would know nothing about whatsoever, not even their existence, if it weren't for the fact that the Lord's Apostle mentions their names in the course of these verses. For all that, however, it is still within the realms of the Word of God that we're dealing with. And as we know, the Lord has given us all of his word to be profitable to us in each and every way to our hearts and our minds. And when the Lord's Apostle makes mention then of all of these names, as he does in this first part of the last chapter of the epistle, then indeed they are things that are meant to be profitable to us and to the glory and the praise of the Saviour. The first part of the chapter then contains all of this listing of greetings and salutations, all of these various names which the Lord's Apostle brings before us. In the second part of the chapter then, you have some final words of directive and encouragement and some other words of greetings from the other end of things, as you might say. From verse 17 to verse 20 of the chapter, you have that directive from the Lord's Apostle to all the church of the Lord in that place to mark those who cause divisions and avoid them. From verse 21 to verse 24, you have that other series of blessings, this time, as I say, from the other end, as Paul now sends blessings from the place where he is, where he wrote the Epistle to the Romans. And then finally, from verse 25 to the end of the chapter, you have yet another prayer, another benediction that comes from the heart and the mind and the pen of the Lord's Apostle as he writes this epistle under the hand of the Holy Spirit of God. Now to him that is of power to establish you, To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. So there are these words of greetings to those various people in the church at Rome. There are these words of directive that all the people in the church are to take to heart. There are some other words of greetings from the various people who are now with the apostle in the city of Corinth. And there is yet another prayer, another great word of benediction that the Lord's apostle lifts up on the behalf of those people. And so the epistle then is finally brought to a close. Well, in our time together for this evening, we make a beginning in this list of names, these greetings and salutations which the Lord's apostle sets down in the way that he does. And for this evening then, we begin at the beginning in that sense with the first name that is brought before us at the commencement of the chapter, which is, of course, the name of Phoebe, who Paul sets down as our sister and as a servant of the church, which is at Sancrea. And just to follow the verses out as they come before us then, in verse 1, we have Paul commending Phoebe to the church in the city of Rome. In the first part of chapter 2, we have Paul charging the church in that place as to how they are to behave towards Phoebe. And then in the second part of verse 2, we have the reason why they are to behave that towards that woman in the way that he has said. It's all very practical, all very telling to our hearts and our souls. But as we've said already, and as we know, of course, the Lord has given us all of his word for every purpose that he calls us to in his calling in Christ the Saviour. So in the opening verse of the chapter, where Paul commends this woman, Phoebe, to the church of the Lord in the city of Rome, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Sancrea. Phoebe, of course, is one of the people that we know absolutely nothing about. There are different people in the course of the chapter that we know absolutely nothing about. And right at the beginning of the chapter, we're confronted with one whom we know absolutely nothing about, apart from this commendation, of course, that Paul makes with her as he delivers her into the hands of the church in the city of Rome. What her background was, we don't know. Where she came from, we don't know. How she was converted and brought to Christ, we don't know. She is simply shown as a sister and as a servant of the church. And later on, of course, the apostle says she was a succorer of many and of Paul himself. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Sancrea. Sancrea was the port city of Corinth. It was the dockland, if you like. And so Phoebe was part of the church which met together in that part of the city of Corinth. Now, before we move on, we're duty-bound to mention one thing with regards to this woman, Phoebe. You'll come across people, books or whatever, who will set Phoebe down as being an office bearer in the church at Sancrea, that in fact she was a deacon or a deaconess in that sense. And they do that, of course, out of the word that the Lord's Apostle Paul uses for a servant, which is diakonos, which means a deacon, but which, of course, very simply means a servant. And it's something, really, that we need to be clear about in our hearts and our souls, that what he's speaking about is the fact that this woman, Phoebe, exercised her calling in the Lord as a servant of Jesus Christ, and to the good of others, and to the glory of Christ the Saviour. There are only two offices in the Church of Jesus Christ, and they are the office of elder and deacon. And in the will and purpose of the Lord has ordained that no sister in Christ will occupy any of those two offices. And it's something that we have to be very clear about, because very often when you open up just the door a little, then before you know, you've got all kinds of women pastors and women bishops and whatever. And I trust, my friends, that over the years in the course of our preaching in this place, we've always spoken in the highest possible terms of those who are sisters in Jesus Christ the Savior, their service to the glory of Jesus Christ our Savior. But when it comes to holding office in the Church of Christ our Savior, the Lord, in his will and in his purpose and for his own purpose, has withheld those things from those who are sisters in Christ. Got nothing to do with spirituality or love for Christ or devotion or usefulness or any of those things. It simply has to do with the fact that God has decreed that it should be so and has declared that it should be so. And Phoebe was not a deaconess in any sense that she held the office of deacon, as we know that office within the Church of Christ. She may well have been among that number of women who ministered to the saints, and of course that's very clear in those days. But she was not an office bearer in the Church of Christ. She was a diaconon in the sense that she was a servant of Christ, as we're all called to be servants of Christ. But there are two offices in the church, that of elder and that of deacon, and a sister holds neither of those offices. A deacon's wife, indeed, holds no office in the Church of Christ. An elder's wife holds no office in the Church of Christ. A pastor's wife, as we speak in those terms, holds no office in the Church of Christ. There are but two offices in the Church of Christ, those of elder and deacon, and they are ordained by the Lord to be held by brethren in the Church of Christ. And Phoebe was a servant of the church, as every member, I say, is called to be a servant in the Church of Christ, in whatever capacity the Lord has called us to be servants in the Church of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And Paul is commending Phoebe to the Church of Christ in the city of Rome as a faithful servant who has faithfully carried out her service to the Lord her God in heaven above. But as to who she was, where she had come from, what her background had been before the Lord had laid his good hand upon her, who can really say? Like many others, it would be lovely to know just where Phoebe came from. Maybe there are a few hints. You see, the name Phoebe, well, it means moon goddess. That gives you a clue, at least, what her background was to some extent. The moon goddess was worshipped at Corinth, part of the Diana worship, in fact. And you can imagine that there came a day in that family in the city of Corinth when a little baby girl was born into the household, and the parents said, "Let's call her Phoebe. Let's call her moon goddess." Maybe they worshipped, probably they did worship the moon goddess. But you see, what's in a name? There were those who were converted out of paganism, as Phoebe obviously was, and they changed their name. Some of those that were born and reared up in Judaism changed their name when they came to Christ. Now, Phoebe obviously didn't see fit that she needed to change her name. Perhaps, she wanted to keep her name as a reminder of what she had been until Christ had come and saved her never-dying soul. Of course, the all-important thing is this, that her name was written in heaven, and that the Word of God contains this record of her, that she was a sister and a servant of Jesus Christ the Lord. And if a person has that settled, well, it doesn't really matter all that much. There's nothing really in a name. And it's within these terms of her being a sister and a servant that Paul commends her in the way that he does to the Church of Christ that was in the city of Rome. Now, we'll come back to something of that later on, but you see something that we shouldn't miss, not only in the mention of this woman, Phoebe, in this part of Paul's epistle to the Romans, But the mention of all the others, in fact, that he makes mention of in the course of the verses. You see, remember what it was that has immediately gone before in the preceding chapter of the Epistle to the Romans. And to sum it up, it's been how Paul has set forth his future plans and has also told about a future, present errand that he is going to be involved in. His future plans were these. He was going to make his way to the great country of Spain, where he was going to preach the gospel to Christ, of Christ. But on his way to Spain, he was going to call in and see the people in the church in the city of Rome. Those were his plans. And he told them that he hoped to carry out those plans, to go to Spain and to call in and see them. But before he put those future plans into operation, he had a present errand to perform. And that errand, you remember, was to go to the city of Jerusalem and to minister unto the saints. Now, he was only taking a collection of money to the saints, the poor saints in the city of Jerusalem. But always remember how he terms that taking of that collection to the saints in the city of Rome. It's in verse 25 of the previous chapter. But now I go on to Jerusalem, he says, to minister unto the saints. To minister unto the saints. And as we said, of course, in the eyes of men, a very little thing, just to take a bag of money to some poor Christians in the city of Jerusalem. But to Paul, it wasn't a very little thing. It was a ministry. It was a service that he was performing in the name of Jesus Christ, his Saviour. And indeed, in the eyes of God, it wasn't a very little thing, because anything that is done in the name of Christ is acceptable before the Lord our God. And in reality, you see, when Paul now comes to give this whole listing of the people to whom he's sending his greetings in the city of Rome, it's simply a listing of those who had performed one kind of a service or another to the praise and the glory of Christ the Saviour. Priscilla and Aquila, he says, my helpers in Christ Jesus. Mary, who bestowed much labour upon us. Urban, our helper in Christ. Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and fellow prisoners. Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labour in the Lord. The Lord's apostle, you see, my friends, was always able to look on whatever he did on the name of Christ as a ministry and a service to Christ that he was granted to render. And he always looked on what others rendered to Christ as a ministry and as a service to the glory of Christ. And here, when you look behind all of these names that he lists, he's listing those who have rendered some service to the glory of Christ their Saviour. Remember how he spoke about that ministry to the poor saints in Jerusalem as he asked for the prayers of God's people in the city of Rome in relation to that ministry in verse 30 of the previous chapter. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Then come the three petitions, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come on to you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. That I, my service which I have for them in Jerusalem, may be accepted. My service now begins with Phoebe, a servant of the Lord. And when he draws in all the others, in fact, he's commending not only Phoebe, but he's mentioning them all as those who had rendered some service in the name of Christ the Saviour. I don't know about you, I find that very, very encouraging and comforting. And as that old hymn says, only what's done for Jesus will last, and whatever is done for Jesus will last. And if the Holy Spirit of God sees fit to take up these, what you would call, little things, well, my friends, they're not little things. For whatever we do in the name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour, then indeed it is noticed by Jesus Christ, our Saviour. And now Phoebe, you see, is one who has rendered a service, indeed is rendering a service, as we'll see in a moment. And Phoebe isn't amongst those that Paul is sending his greetings to, of course, but she is one that he's sending his greetings through. Came a point where he was completing his letter. He needed to get it to the city of Rome. They didn't have any postal service in those days, of course. Phoebe was going to the city of Rome for one reason or another. And Paul saw the opportunity then of giving her the epistle that he had written that she might take it to the believers in the city of Rome. So in that, she was serving the Lord and rendering a service unto the Lord. And as I say, when you take the totality of the whole thing, as Paul has spoken about his ministry, taking a collection of money to the poor saints, no, he says it's my ministry, my service. And then as he goes on to speak about all this list of people in the way that he does, as I say, they rendered service unto the Lord their Saviour. You see, it isn't just a bundle of names in a book. It's a record of the saints of God in the book of God. And because it's that, then we take note. And what we take note of is the fact that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. And so Paul commends this woman, Phoebe, to the church of the Lord in Rome as a sister and as a servant of a church in another place. Now, in the first part of the next verse, in verse 2, he gives the church in the city of Rome a charge with regards to this one that is going to appear in their midst. Now, the charge falls into two parts. They are to receive her, and they are to assist her. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. That ye receive her, he says in the first place, that ye receive her. That's a very telling word, really, in the light of the whole setting of this part of the epistle once again. You remember that middle petition that Paul makes as he asks these people to pray for him. He says in verse 31 of the previous chapter, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints. You see, he's asking them to pray that when he goes to Jerusalem, that he'll get a good reception when he goes to Jerusalem. And now he says, when Phoebe comes among you, I trust that you're going to give her a good reception. You see, my friends, it's one thing to pray, and it's another thing to practice what we pray. And Paul says, pray for me that I be well received with my gift that I'm taking to Jerusalem. And here's how you'll evidence that you're praying for me for that reception. You'll do the same with Phoebe. You see, it's so easy to get so romantic in our prayers about things abroad in another place. Lord, bless the missionaries. Make their service effectual. Bind them together. Amen. Amen. But my friends, when we pray about things that are apart from us, we have to practice what is part of us. And the Lord's apostle, you see, well, as we've said before, he knows a thing or two about human nature. And now when he has asked them to pray that he might have a good reception, well, he says, put your prayers into practice and give this woman a good reception when she comes amongst you in the way that she does. Remember when we spoke about Paul's service to the poor saints, we said that we've got a different scale of values to work from that the world doesn't have. Our Lord Jesus Christ, when he said, even a cup of cold water given in my name is a ministry. And now Christ said that. Christ said that. And in the same context, he says something else. He said, I was a stranger and you took me in. And here's the stranger, you see, coming now to the city of Rome, and Paul is saying, take her in. Receive her. Well, she's a sister in the Lord. She's a fellow heir of the grace of God with every believer in the city of Rome. But if it only was as simple as that. You go into many average church in our country and in other countries in these days, and let a stranger come in through the doors, and there's a great gulf fixed. Paul's been around the block more than once, and he knows all about the workings of the human heart, knows it from the Word of God in which he was steeped, and knows it from his own experience in the raw. Whereas you see, he's got the highest regard for this church of God in the city of Rome in those days, he still feels it necessary to charge them that they receive this woman when she comes into their midst. Indeed, the whole business of receiving is very strong in the epistle to the Romans. And he has dealt with it in the previous two chapters as to how we are to receive one another in the Lord. See, the epistle to the Romans is full of two things. It's full of the mighty doctrines of the gospel of the grace of God that has saved our souls. And it's full of the imitation of Christ. You remember what they said, and they were absolutely puzzled. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. They couldn't get their heads round that. But that was Christ. And as Christ, so we are called to be. And this church in the city of Rome in those days is to receive this saint into their midst in the way that they are directed. Now the other thing that he points them up to is this, that they will help her, that they will assist her. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. The interesting thing about that part of the charge is this. We've no idea what Phoebe's business was when she went to the city of Rome. There's no indication that it was spiritual business in that sense. Very simply, she had to go to the city of Rome for one reason or another. And as I say, the Lord's apostle then grasped the opportunity of putting the epistle into her hands, that when she went to the city of Rome on her business, that she would meet up with the people of God there and deliver the epistle into their hands. You see the point, my friends, a very practical point, really. Phoebe's business in the city of Rome, as I say, no indication that it was spiritual business in that sense. She was performing a spiritual errand when she would take the epistle. But no indication that it was essentially spiritual business. It was business. It was something or other that you had to see to, and that was taking her to the city of Rome. And yet in the light of that, how practical the words of the Lord's apostle are. That they assist her, he says, in whatsoever business she hath need of you. Whatever her business is, if she needs your help and your assistance in that business, give her your help. Give her your assistance. Don't withhold your assistance from her. And without even trying to go into all the areas of life that all of us have to see to from day to day, there is always that call to help or for help, that which we're to render or receive to the glory of Christ the Savior. If you want to take up a concordance at some point, the endless references to the whole business of help, receiving help, ministering help. One of the titles of the Lord is our helper. The Lord is my helper. A very great thing to be able to help. And what God is for us, we are to be for others when we stand in need of help or when we can render help. That's part of our calling. And as I say, whatever the piece of business was that Phoebe had in the city of Rome, when she got to Rome, she would tell them what her business was. And now says Paul, in fact, as she tells you what her business is going to be and she needs your help in that business, give her your help. Very, very practical. So I thought the Bible was all about things way up there. No, no, no. The Bible's all about things also way down here. And one of the things that it's all about in many ways is rendering help to the glory and the praise of Christ the Savior. Very practical words. But then, if the precious workings of God's gospel in our soul doesn't issue in practical things, it's not really up to much when all's said and done. However, having said that, Paul doesn't deliver those two charges in a vacuum. He doesn't simply say receive her with an eye to helping her, but he says receive her in the Lord as becometh saints. That makes all the difference in the world. Opening verse, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that you assist her in whatsoever business. That you receive her in the Lord. You see, she is your sister. That's what he's saying, in the Lord. Therefore, receive her in the Lord. One of the great truths of the gospel that the Epistle to the Roman deals with, you remember, is the doctrine, the truth of our adoption in Jesus Christ the Savior. That great chapter 8 of the epistle. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Phoebe, says Paul, is your sister. She belongs to the same family. She was brought into the same family in the self-same way that you were brought into the same family. She has received the spirit of adoption in the self-same way that you received it, by the Spirit of God. She is a joint heir with Christ, just as you are a joint heir with Christ. She is your sister. Therefore, receive her in the Lord. You see, that lifts it away up. In the Lord. That's how you are to receive her. And you know, something that should always strike us about the Lord's apostle is the way he speaks about those who are fellow believers with him in Jesus Christ the Savior. And here's an instance. You know well enough about Paul when he was Saul of Tarsus, Pharisee of the Pharisees, reared up in an absolutely orthodox Judaistic Christian home, circumcised the eighth day, spot on. Very day that Abraham was to do this circumcising, that very day, the eighth day, is when Paul was taken and circumcised, sent off to study at the feet of Gamaliel, the teacher of the things of Judaism in those days. You can see Paul with his phylacteries and his fringes standing forth a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And here's this moon goddess from the dockland of the evil city of Corinth, and he says, she's my sister. A tremendous thing. And Paul, you see, knew what we've sung, that Christ has broken every barrier down. And when he writes to those people to receive her, that's not the end of the story. He says, receive her in the Lord. She's your sister in the Lord. And that's the rationale for your receiving of her. And then he gives another reference point that they're to look to as well. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord as becometh saints. You see, again, the world may behave in whatever way the world wants to behave. That's not the compass that the Church of Christ steers its course through this world by. We've got a different reference point, my dear friends, altogether. It's the same expression that you have in other parts of the Word of God, that we walk worthy, as becometh saints, worthily, he says. And we're told in many, many places, we know them so well, at least in our heads, do we not? And yet they're set before us time and time again. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. Walk worthy of your calling. And we're not left to puzzle out how we walk worthy of our calling. He goes on to say, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You see, when the Word of God calls us to do something, it also interprets what the thing is and how we do the thing that it's calling us to. And as far as these Roman Christians are concerned, and anybody who reads anything of the Epistle to the Romans in any meaningful sense whatsoever, they know what it is to live as becometh saints. They've got chapter 12 and chapter 13 and chapter 14 and chapter 15. That's how you live as becometh saints. When you take that calling that we're called to, as you look at other parts of the Word of God, it's a good thing to do. It's called in one place a high calling. It's called in another place a holy calling. Called in another place a heavenly calling. And when we consider the calling that God has given us to live by, my friends, then indeed it helps us in endeavouring to fulfil that calling. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord as becometh saints. And then Paul gives a reason why they are to behave towards this woman in the way that they should. That you receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you for. She hath been a succourer of many, and of myself also. Now in reality, I suppose you would have to say they would have been duty bound to have received her anyway as a sister in the Lord. But you see, the Bible doesn't overlook the fact that those things that are done for Christ are recognized by Christ and to be recognized by Christ's people. And Paul's doing that very thing. That's exactly what he's doing with this woman, Phoebe. She has been a succorer to many, he says, and of me myself. A succorer means a helper, one who stands by. Probably she stood by the sick bed of many of the saints. That would seem to be reasonable enough that that was how she rendered that service. Paul himself, Paul wasn't a well man. Paul had he calls his oftentimes infirmities. Paul was sick. Month after month he was sick. And you see how Phoebe then in her ministrations as a succorer, as one who stands by, would have been very valuable to the heart and the soul of the Lord's apostle. But you see now as he tells those people to receive her in the Lord and as become a saint, he's giving them an added incentive for doing that, if they needed an added incentive. For he says, she has been a helper to many. And to me, myself. And as I say, that we take up and we look, and by the grace of God, we endeavour to follow out what the Lord sets before us. There's a lovely picturing forth, an illustration in the Old Testament scriptures of what Paul is really driving at as he commends this woman, Phoebe, to these people in the church in the city of Rome. It's at that point in the book of Ruth, where Naomi has come back with Ruth, now as her sister-in-law, her daughter-in-law, back from the land of Moab and back to the village of Bethlehem. Now, they're very, very poor. Naomi's husband had died many years before. Ruth's husband had died as well, and as two widows, they were very, very poor. And Ruth, you remember, decided to go out into the harvest field and to glean in the harvest. It was something that God had provided for the poor. When you reap your harvest, he told the children of Israel, then don't go right to the edge of your field. Leave bits there for the poor to come and gather up. And it was that provision, in fact, that Ruth then undertook to do in order to feed herself and Naomi, her mother-in-law. And so she went out to the field. It belonged to a man called Boaz. And Boaz came, and when he saw Ruth, and it's another aspect on the whole business with Phoebe, he saw she was a stranger. And he said to the young men, now take care of her, because she is a stranger. And then Boaz spoke to Ruth herself and said, now don't go to another field. Glean in this field all that you need for yourself and for your mother Naomi. And then you've got tremendous exchange of words between the two. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and art come unto the people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. You see what he's saying? He's saying, Ruth, why am I doing this for you? It's on account of what you did to Naomi, your mother-in-law. It's a recompense of reward from the God under whose wings thou hast come to trust. When the Lord's apostle says, now receive Phoebe, well, do it. Because she's a sister, she's a servant, she's in the Lord, you're to live as become saints, and this also, she's been a helper to others. So you are to help her. And one last thing to finish, my friend, and it's that title again, you see, that Paul uses with regards to this woman, where he calls her a servant of the church. And assuredly, that's what Phoebe considered herself to be. And why not? Why not? Because it's one of the noblest titles that any child of the living God can take upon themselves, as God has given us that title. The Lord's apostle himself delighted in it. At the very beginning of the epistle to the Romans, he says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, indeed a bond slave of Jesus Christ. When he gathers in his fellow workers with him in the cause of the gospel, he says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Christ's sake. And never mind Paul. When Christ was to come into this world of ours to be our Savior, then Jehovah his Father said, behold, my servant. My servant. And when Christ came, didn't he say, I am among you as one that serveth. Remember in the upper room, when he washed the feet of the disciples and did the work of a servant, because none of the others thought fit to do the work of the servant. And then he says, I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Wash one another's feet? No, no. Take the place of a servant. And my friends, in love, says the word of God, serve one another. And so the Lord's apostle places this mighty epistle, you see, before us. And he brings it to a close in the way that he does. And in this way, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, a servant, and one indeed who has rendered service to the praise of the Lord and rendered service to others also. A lovely picture, really, of those early days of the Church of God in the midst of the world, but a picture that should be fresh and vital to each and every one of our hearts and souls, because none of the terms of the gospel have changed, not for the unconverted and not for the converted. Still bound to the word of God in all of its encouragements and exhortations and directives, we're still bound to the word of the living God. And where it directs, of course it does encourage as well. And here's directives, here's a charge. Receive her, he says. But what encouragement is given to the church that they can do that, and it will be to their good and to the praise of Christ the Lord. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister. Be lovely to know a lot about her, but we don't know a lot about her. But we know this. She was a sister, and she was a servant, and she was a helper to others. That's really all we need to know. And to be like her, indeed, will be to the blessing of each and every one of us. Amen.